Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shkalim, Daf Dalad, the first parak be'echa ba'adar. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah introduces the kalbon, a small payment that's sometimes added to the half shekel tax. If one contributes a shekel on his own behalf and on behalf of his friend, he's obligated to pay one kalbon. Rimer says shnei kalbonos. He must pay two kalbonos. The Tikkun Chadashin explains that according to the Tanakhama, the kalbon is a derabban requirement based on the tendency of half shekel pieces to rise in value during the month of Adar when they are in demand. Because of this rise, one who exchanges a sela, which is a full shekel, for two half-shekel pieces must pay the money changer a premium, since the two half-shekel pieces are more valuable than the sela. When two people join to pay their obligation with a shekel, they're bypassing the money changer and avoiding the surcharge. Their payment ends up having less value than two people who gave a half-shekel each. To ensure half-shekel payments are equal, the Rabbanim therefore require that two people who pay together must contribute a kalbon. According to the Tanakhama, one person paying a half shekel is not obligated in the kalbon. Point number two, Rebbe Meir, who says two kalbonos must be paid when one joins with another and gives a shekel, holds that payment of a kalbon is a deraisa chiyuv and must be added to each individual half shekel payment. The Gemara Amud Beis gives the source for Meir's ruling. For Meir said, "Kamin matbeis shel eish hotzi Kadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei chvodo." A Kadosh Baruch Hu removed a sort of coin of fire from beneath his throne of glory. V'harei l'Moshe, and he showed to Moshe. V'amar lo zeh yitnu, and he said to him, "This shall they give," which means kzeh yitnu. They shall give a coin like this one. The Tikkun Chadin explains that by showing Moshe a particular coin as the one that must be used for the half shekel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated that the half shekel may never be even the slightest bit smaller than the one that existed in Moshe's time. Since silver coins are prone to loss because of wear, this represents a command to always add a small amount to the half shekel to ensure it is equal in weight to the coin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe. And point number three, the Mishnah state that idolaters may not participate in the building and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim regarding this. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Betchila, in the beginning, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, ein makabim mehem lo davar mesuyim lo davar she'ein mesuyim. We do not accept any donation from them, neither the donation of a distinctive object, nor one that's not distinctive, such as money or objects which are not identifiable to them." The Tikkun Chadashin explains that the concern is that they'll get a foothold in the effort to eventually undermine it. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, we do not accept a distinctive object. This degrades the Beis HaMikdash and gives the idolater an opportunity to boast that it was they who built the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "Whether in the beginning or at the end, we do not accept any donation from them." As the Pasuk states, "Lo lechem v'lanu livnos beis elokeinu." It's not for you and us to build a house for our God. He understands the Pasuk to be banning their participation even during maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the next Mishnah introduces the kalbon, a small payment that sometimes adds to the half shekel tax. If one contributes a shekel on his own behalf and on behalf of his friend, he's obligated to pay one kalbon. Rabbi Meir says, shnei kalbonos, he must pay two kalbonos. The Tikkun Chadashin explains that according to the Tanakhama, the kalbon is a derabban requirement based on the tendency of half shekel pieces to rise in value during the month of Adar when they're in demand. Because of this rise, one who exchanges a sela, which is a full shekel, for two half shekel pieces must pay the money changer a premium, since the two half shekel pieces are more valuable than the sela. When two people join to pay their obligation with a shekel, they're bypassing the money changer and avoiding the surcharge, so their payment ends up having less value than two people who gave a half shekel each. To ensure half shekel payments are equal, the Rabbanim therefore require that two people who pay together must contribute a kalbon. According to the Tanakhama, one person paying a half shekel is not obligated in a kalbon. Point number two, Rabbi Meir says two kalbonos must be paid when one joins with another and gives a shekel, holds that payment of a kalbon is a deraisa chiyuv and must be added to each individual half shekel payment. The Gemara Nam Beis gives the source for Rabbi Meir's ruling. For Rabbi Meir said, "Kamin matbeis shel eish hotzi Kadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei kvodo v'harei l'Moshe." Hakadosh Baruch Hu removed a sort of coin of fire from beneath his throne of glory. He showed it to Moshe. V'amar lo zeh yitnu, and he said to him, "This shall they give," which means kzeh yitnu. They shall give a coin like this one. The Tikkun Chadashin explains that by showing Moshe a particular coin as the one that must be used for the half shekel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated that the half shekel may never be even the slightest bit smaller than the one that existed in Moshe's time. Since silver coins are prone to loss because of wear, this represents a command to always add a small amount to the half shekel and to ensure it's equal in weight to the coin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe. And point number three, the Mishnah say that idolaters may not participate in the building and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim regarding this. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Betchila, in the beginning, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, ein makabim mehem lo davar mesuyim lo davar she'ein mesuyim. We do not accept any donation from them, neither donation of a distinctive object nor one that's not distinctive, such as money or objects which are not identifiable to them. The Tikkun Chajin explains that the concern is that they'll get a foothold in the effort to eventually undermine it. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, we do not accept a distinctive object. This degrades the Beis HaMikdash and gives the idolater an opportunity to boast that it was they who built the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, whether in the beginning or at the end, we do not accept any donation from them. As the Pasuk states, Lo lechem v'lanu livnos beis elokeinu. It's not for you and us to build a house for our God. He understands the Pasuk to be banning their participation even during maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. All right, so now we go to our Sim for Daf Dalet, and our standard Simon is Ador. Adelet Ador. So here goes. The money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they were exchanging for 2 half shekels stood in front of a big door that had a picture of a fiery coin emblazoned on it, along with a sign that said, Temple donations by idolaters, not welcome. Once again, it's a motion. The money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they're exchanging for 2 half shekels stood in front of a big door. Big door? That must be learned off Dalet. So the money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they're exchanging for 2 half shekels, which reminds us the next Mishnah introduces a kolbon, a small payment that's sometimes added to the half shekel tax. The Mishnah says if one contributes a shekel on his own behalf and on behalf of his friend, he's obligated to pay 1 kolbon. Remir says 2 kolbonos. The Tikkun Chajin explains that according to the Tanakhama, the kolbon is a derabbanan requirement based on the tendency of half shekel pieces to rise in value during the month of Adar when they're in demand. Because of this rise, one who exchanges a sella, which is a full shekel, for 2 half shekel pieces must pay the money changer a premium, since the 2 half shekel pieces are more valuable than the sella. When 2 people join to pay their obligation with a shekel, they're bypassing the money changer and avoiding the surcharge. Their payment ends up having less value than 2 people who give a half shekel each. To ensure half shekel payments are equal, the Rabbanan therefore required that 2 people who pay together must contribute a kolbon. According to the Tanakhama, one person paying a half shekel is not obligated in the kolbon. So the money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they were exchanging for 2 half shekels stood in front of a big door that had a picture of a fiery coin emblazoned on it, which reminds us, Reb Meir, who says 2 kolbonos must be paid when one joins with another and gives a shekel, holds that the payment of a kolbon is a deraisa chiv and must be added to each individual half shekel payment. The Gemara Amud Beis gives a source for Reb Meir's ruling, where he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed a matbeh shel esh, a sort of coin of fire from beneath his kisei hakavod, and he showed it to Moshe, and he said to him, ze yitnu, this shall they give, which means kaze yitnu, they shall give a coin like this one. The Tikkun Chajin explains that by showing Moshe a particular coin as the one that must be used for the half shekel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicated that the half shekel may never be even the slightest bit smaller than the one that existed in Moshe's time. Since silver coins are prone to loss because of wear, this represents a command to always add a small amount to the half shekel to ensure it's equal in weight to the coin that Hashem showed Moshe. So the money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they're exchanging for 2 half shekels stood in front of a big door that had a picture of a fiery coin emblazoned on it, along with a sign that said, Temple donations from idolaters, not welcome. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states that idolaters may not participate in the building and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim regarding this. Rabbi Yochanan said that in the beginning, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, we do not accept any donation from them, neither the donation of a distinct object or one that's not distinctive, such as money or objects which are not identifiable to them. The Tikkun Chajin explains that the concern is that they'll get a foothold in the effort to eventually undermine it. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, we do not accept a distinctive object. This degrades the Beis HaMikdash and gives the idolater an opportunity to boast that it was they who built the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, whether in the beginning or at the end, we do not accept any donation from them. As the Pasuk states, Lo lechem v'lanu livnos beis elokeinu. It's not for you and us to build a house for our God. He understands the Pasuk be banning their participation even during maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, the money changer reminding two friends to pay a kolbon for the seller they're exchanging for 2 half shekels stood in front of a big door that had a picture of a fiery coin emblazoned on it, along with a sign that said, Temple donations from idolaters, not welcome. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot back chazara. Daf kuf chaf. The siman is a cook. So here goes. The cook. That must mean we're on daf kuf chaf. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabbanan, which reminds us, Rava says, matzah b'zman hazeh deraisa u'maror derabbanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but maror nowadays is a mitzvah derabbanan. And the Gemara explains that maror is not deraisa because the Torah requires the carbon pesach be eaten on matzah's morarim with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this. B'zman deka pesach yesh maror, b'zman deleka pesach leka maror. That when there's a carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, You shall eat matzahs. Rav Acher Yaakov disagrees and says the matzah and maror are both the Rabbanan nowadays, and the pasuk be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamir or b'derech rechoka, or on a distant road, who cannot partake of the Pesach, still is a chi of the raisa, the matzah. So the cook at the economy Pesach hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only the Rabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach, because it's only optional, which reminds us, the Braisa that supports Rav states, Sheishas Yamim Tochum Matzos B'Yom Shvi Atzeres L'Hashem El Kechot. For 6 days, you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here, we may infer, Mashvi Rishus Av Sheishas Yamim Rishus. Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there is no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The Braisa explains how this inference was made. So the cook at the economy Pesach hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only the Rabbanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by chatzos. Which reminds us that the Mishnah states, HaPesach acher chatzos metameis yadayim. The Karban Pesach makes the hands tame after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes noser because it may no longer be eaten, and noser is metame one's hands mid the Rabban. Rav Yosef says that this mission is only consistent with the view of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as it was taught in a Braisa that the pasuk states va'achos abasim b'layla zeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rav Elazar says that it says on this night b'layla zeh, and it says regarding Makos Bechoros va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as Makos Bechoros refers to night up until midnight, so to hear by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rav Akiva said to him, but does it not say that you shall eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you shall eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak, when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pesach b'layla zeh is coming to teach that one must have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other kadshim. The Pesach comes to teach b'layla hu necho ve'eno necho b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds that it's innocent the rice to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, the siman is a cocoa bean farmer. So here goes. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. The hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy kohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, which reminds the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis stated a pigel v'nos metamis yadayim, pigel, and nos from metame the hands. The Gemara states that either Rav Huna or Rav Chisda said the Rabbanan created this rule because of Chashdei Kohuna, the suspected Kohanim, and the other said it was due to Atzli Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim. The Gemara, as explained by Rashi, says that the two Amorim did not disagree. One taught that pigel's metame the hands to prevent unscrupulous Kohanim from intentionally making a carbon pigel so as to cause a loss to its owner. The Rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands to be matriach the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The other one taught that noser is matami the hands to prevent lazy kohanim or Yisraelim from failing to eat the carbon on time. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy kohen leave over some kodesh meat, while another one was mafagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them. Which reminds us, the Mishnah records a malchokas tanaim about someone who was eating meat of the Karban Pesach and meat of Chagiga, each of which requires its own bracha. On the Karban Pesach, the bracha that's recited is Le'echo HaPesach, and before the Chagiga, it's Le'echo HaZevach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Birch, Birchas HaPesach, Patras Shol Zevach, Birch Shol Zevach, Patras Shol Pesach. If one said the bracha for the Karban Pesach, he exempted himself from saying the bracha for the other Karban, but if one said the bracha for the other Karban, the Chagiga, he did not exempt himself from saying the bracha for the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Kiva says that neither bracha exempts a person from his obligation to say the other one. The Rashbam explains that the Torah requires that the blood of a Karban Pesach be poured on the wall of the Mizbeach, and the blood of the Chagiga be thrown on the two corners of the Mizbeach from a distance. The Gemara explains that both Tanaim agree that lo shvicha b'klal zrika, pouring, is not included in throwing, and the Malchokas revolves around the issue of whether zrika b'klal shvicha, throwing, is included in pouring. According to Bishmal, throwing is included in pouring. So the bracha for the Pesach exempts the bracha for the Chagiga. Rav Akiva holds the throwing is not included in the pouring, and therefore he requires a separate bracha for the Pesach and Chagiga. So the hardworking cocoa bean farmer who was incensed when he saw a lazy Kohen leave over some Kodesh meat, while another one was mefagel his enemy's carbon, threw and poured hot coffee on them that was being brewed for his sons, Pinyon Ben. Which reminds the Gemara brought the incident of Rabbi Simlai, who attended the Pinyon Ben, where the people said it's obvious to them that the father makes a bracha of all Pinyon Ben, since he's the one doing the mitzvah of redeeming his son. But they were in doubt as to who recites the Shehecheyanu, the father of the Kohen. Does the Kohen recite it as the physical benefit of this mitzvah, meaning the redemption money reaches his hands, or does the father recite it because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah? Rabbi Simlai did not have the answer and asked in the Beis Midrash and was told, Aviyah Ben Mevarakshtayim, the father of the son recites, the Gemara concludes, V'hilchos Aviyah Ben Mevarakshtayim. And the halacha is that the father and the son recite two brachas. Daf Beis. So the Simra Daf Beis is a house. So here goes. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis. As the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaim the start of collection time, which reminds us, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Be'echo ba'adar mashmino ha'shkalim. On the first of Adar, they, meaning Beis Din, proclaim regarding the payment of the shkalim. The Gemara asks why the announcement was made on the first of Adar, and answers so that the Jews will bring their shkalim in their designated time, and in this way, the withdrawal of the temple chamber funds will be made for the new donations in its proper time on the first of Nisan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, Trumas halishka ketchilasa, the withdrawal of the new shkalim from the temple treasury chamber occurs on the first of Nisan, like its initial date that occurred in the wilderness. So as the first of utter sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaim the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yitzhak feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, which reminds us, having mentioned that if the proclamation to collect the shkalim were to be made on the first of Adar Rishon, the Yetzer would cause people to procrastinate, given that they have 60 days to contribute. The Gemara brings more examples of the power of the Yetzer. Rav Yehuda bar Pazi said in the name of Rebbe, Hennikra b'lini ba'es, can the psukim be read without one being seized by fear at the power of the Yetzer? When Bnei Yisrael were asked to donate for good, meaning for the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, kol nedivrei, everyone who was generous brought donations. This implies that not everyone was forthcoming with the donation. However, when they were asked to donate for evil, referring to the Chet Egel, the Torah states, Vesparku Kla'am, the entire people removed the gold rings that were in their ears. This implies that even Jews who were not generous by nature donated. And the Gemara brings three more examples. So as the first of Adar sirens on the Beis Din collection house proclaim the start of collection time, while the very powerful Yetzer feverishly misdirected people to donate to an evil cause, the Truma agents had an all-hands meeting to plan for three different donations. Which reminds Rabbi Chagai said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Trumas Nemar b'Parshas Zos. Three donations are mentioned in this Parsha, meaning Parshas Truma. Trumas Adanim, Trumas Shkalim, and Trumas HaMishkan. They're the donation of the sockets for the Mishkan beams and pillars, the donation of Shkalim for the communal offerings, and the donations for the needs of the Mishkan.
Daf Gimel. So the Simra Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here goes. The camels. That must mean we're on Daf Gimel. The camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves, which reminds us that the Mishnah lists several activities that are done on the 15th of Adar. Among them is the Mitzaynus and Kavaras. They mark the graves. The Tukhin Chadin explains that since some markers may have been washed away due to winter rains, it was necessary to inspect the graves and replace missing markers so that Kahanim would know to distance themselves from the graves. The Gemara brings a source that marking graves is required from the Pasuk in the Parsha Metzora that states, Tame Tame Yikra, and he shall call out contaminated. Why does the Torah require this? Kadesh Teha Tuma Korol Chavafia, so that the Tuma calls out to you, the passerby, with its mouth, Vomer Selcha Prosh, and says to you, keep away. The Tikkun Chadin explains that by the same token, graves must be marked so that people will know to avoid them. So the camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce that based them was mafkir, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yehuda explains what the inspectors would do when they found climb in the fields on the 15th of Adar. After failing to dissuade the transgressors in their first two attempts, he skinu shi mafkir and kol sadakula. The Rabban instituted that the inspectors should be mafkir the entire field. Gemara asks, Menayin Shehefker Basin Hefker, what's the source that what's declared onerous by Basin is onerous? And it brings a pasuk from Sefer Evra, whoever does not come within 3 days, as proposed by the princes and the elders, all his property shall be confiscated, and he shall be separated from the congregation of the exile. And the Gemara continues with seeking the source that the produce of Basin is Mafkir is identical to when an owner declares his produce Hefker and is also exempt from Maisrus. So the camels that carefully avoided the freshly marked graves as they ate from the climb transgressors' produce that basin was mafgir, belonged to Kohanim on their way to give their marks as a shekel. Which reminds us, the next mission of Yehuda says, Ben Bukhri testified in Yavne that a Kohen is not sinning if he gives the marks as a shekel, whereas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says it's not so. Rather, any Kohen that does not pay sins. The Gemara brings the source of the rulings. It's written in the Torah concerning the marks as a shekel, Kohen over al-Pakudim, everyone who passes through the senses. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemiah interpret this pasuk differently. One said, Kol da'avi b'yam yiten, everyone who passed through the yamsuf shall give. According to this opinion, Kohanim and Levim are chayav to give since they passed through the sea, which supports Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The other one says, Kol da'avi al-Pakudaya yiten, everyone who passed through the senses shall give. The Tikkun Chadin explains that this exempts Kohanim Levim, since they did not pass through the census in Moshe's presence, as all other Jews did. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the doors of their tents and counted them there. This supports Ben Bukhri, who holds that Kohanim are not obligated to give. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Wished up to learn that one of the activities on the 15th of Adar was marking the graves. That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number two. Which something when the Rava holds Mara Bezman Hazeh is that the Rabbanan and Rav Acher Bar Yaakov holds that Matzah is too? That's on Dav. Kufchav. Good. Number three. Which something when the Rabbanan institute that the inspector should be mafkir the entire field of people who planted Kalayim? That's on Dav. Gimel. Good. Number four. Which something when the Rav Meir holds that a kolbon is a derice requirement whose source is the matbea shel esh, the fiery coin that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe. That's on Daf. Dalet. Good. Number five. Which something when the David Melch will take the kosher bracha, the suda the Kadosh Baruch Hu will make for the tzaddikim lasin lavo. That's on Daf. Kufiyot test. Good. Number six. Which something when that the Aviyah Ben makes both brachas of the Pinyin Ben of all Pinyin Ben and Shechiyanu. That's on Daf. Good. Number seven. Which of the one that the power of the Yitzhar is evident in that only people of a generous nature gave to the Mishkan, whereas everybody gave to the Eagle? That's on Daf. Base. Good. Number eight. Which of the one that the Tanakhama holds that two people bring a seller must pay one kalbun to cover the exchange rate? That's on Daf. Dalet. Good. Number nine. Which of the one that Pigal and Nosar are Mutami the hands because of Chajde Kahuna and Atzli Kahuna? That's on Daf. Kufchafav. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you know that Tzimachos, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether a Nachri can ever give a donation to the base of Mikdash? That's on Daf. Dalet. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff do you know that one who does not relieve himself when they should either will develop bad breath or bad body odor? That's on Daf. Pay base and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which stuff do you know that regarding a Mavui Akum? That's on Daf. Vavin Arabin. Good. And number 3, which stuff do when the Rav Shesh is reviewed as learning every 30 days? That's on Daf. Samachesim Sakim. Excellent. All right, that concludes the Pav Quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.